God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hi, welcome to another episode of the Mission Control Podcast. My name is Amanda Levy, and I love hosting this podcast in addition to serving as the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne. If you've been around First Baptist Melbourne very long, today's guest needs very little introduction. Today, joining us in Mission Control, we have Martha Root. Martha has had a remarkable role in the life of our First Baptist Melbourne church family and has recently retired after nearly 50 years of serving on staff here at the church. For the last 45 years, Martha has served on our radio ministry team with Hope 106.3 WCIF. From the very first broadcast over the airwaves to now, Martha has been here through it all. In today's episode, we talk all about the early days of WCIF, to her heart for international missions and the country of Brazil, to what excites her about her future and the future of Hope 106.3. Now's a great time to give a shameless plug for the all-new Hope 106.3. It's like a worship service in your car. On the all-new Hope 106.3, you'll hear worship music for the Space Coast and messages of hope from all of our new radio hosts. You should definitely check it out. One last thing before we get into today's episode. If you think of someone who would be encouraged through this podcast episode, be sure to share it with them. We want the Mission Control Podcast to be a source of inspiration to supercharge the lives of believers on the Space Coast to live out the mission God has for them. Okay, enough of me. Let's meet up with Martha. So in our last episode, I introduced the whole space-themed icebreaker question. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking through what space-themed icebreaker question I could ask you, it occurred to me, you've been on the Space Coast for so much, if not all of the space history.
I had seen all of the manned launches until I went to college.
Wow. Okay, so I thought we would do a fun game. I went onto the internet.
Okay.
And I pulled out a list of just different historic launches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just call out a few. Some of them are kind of like general speaking. So like, for instance, the Columbia shuttle was used a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through this list. And I want you to tell me how many of them you remember witnessing.
Oh, I have no idea.
You know how many? They're big ones. They're big ones.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll just see. So do you remember the Freedom 7 mission? I'll give you some.
Yes.
So you do see? You remember it? It was the first American to launch into space.
Alan Shepard.
Yes, 1961. So you remember that? Apollo 8 was the first human mission to the moon. They didn't land on the moon. But
They circled, and
on Christmas Eve, they read from the book of Genesis.
James Irwin.
Did you witness this?
Yes.
Nice.
I mean, on TV, that was fun. Yes.
You weren't that crazy.
Okay, I did see the launch, though.
So then Apollo, so you saw that one. You said you saw Apollo 11, so that was the next one. Okay, do you remember the first space shuttle Columbia launch?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't, I was probably...
That was 1981.
I was here. Okay. I was here, so I probably did see it.
A reason to believe that you witnessed it.
Because anytime there was a missile going off,
Do you remember the last space shuttle launch? That would have been July 8th, 2011.
Yes.
Okay. Then we have the first Falcon 9 launch. Do you remember that? You don't remember that? It gets fuzzy the more recent. Do you remember the first Falcon Heavy launch?
I don't know that I remember which one was Heavy. I mean, I've seen a lot of Heavy launches, but...
That would have been February 2018. And then do you remember the first crewed SpaceX flight, which would have been May 2020?
I don't really remember much about it, but I'm...
But you witnessed all those.
Yeah, I had seen so many launches.
You're just positioned so well to witness all that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're positioned so well to witness so much of First Baptist Melbourne growing and blossoming, and then Hope 106.3 WCIF. So kind of like, when did you start working at the church, and what was some of those seasons?
So my first real season was when I was a student in college, and I was a music major, And okay. I would fill in every once in a while in Oregon when I would come to visit. Mm-hmm. Or if they needed somebody, I was home, you know. And so my first time, I think I played for a revival one night when the regular organist couldn't come. So I got, that was my first time I'd ever played for service.
Okay.
Because I took organ from our summer music intern.
Okay.
Who was an organist. And so that was how that started. Then my first real adult job was I was the pastor's secretary.
Okay.
And we were called secretaries then. And that was in August of 1974.
Wow. Where did you go to school?
Stetson.
Stetson. Did you say that and I already forgot?
No.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you were born and raised at First Baptist Auburn then?
This is my home church.
So the only time you've been gone was at college?
And I got married right after in 72.
Okay.
And right after college, I moved to Jacksonville.
Okay.
For 2 years.
And then God brought
and then
you
we,
back.
Then we decided to leave the big city and come back to Melbourne, which has become the big city.
It's grown a lot in those years.
It's a lot different than Derry Road was the boondocks when I was a little kid.
Isn't that wild to think about?
Yeah. It is, you know, when I think about all the different changes. And we would walk home from school. I went to Melbourne Elementary.
Okay.
Which was across from the, was Ruth Henniger. Became Ruth Henniger.
Okay. And, which would have been across the street from the downtown
church.
Campus. So
and
everything
so,
was just right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was. And after school, I'd go help collate and do things in training for later life.
Yeah.
So, because the secretaries were all friends, and if they needed somebody to help do.
You were just
whatever.
Across the street at school?
I was just across the street at school, and we'd go by after school and, you know, do whatever.
Nice. So, how long did you serve as the pastor secretary?
5.5 years.
So, that would have been 1974 to 1980.
March 10th, 1980.
Okay.
When I became the WCIF secretary.
Nice. Was that. I'm assuming then you were the very first secretary.
I was here when we went on the air.
What was that like for you?
Well, so I had worked on the application some for the pastor.
Okay.
So one of my stories is that I really wanted that job, and I would see them interviewing all these folks, and they just weren't finding anybody, but I didn't have peace about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, Lord, I really want to do that. I think that would be something different, because when I came here, in 74, I thought, I can be the pastor's secretary for a couple years. I'll do this. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't think this is what I'm called to do in life.
Gotcha.
But it's a job for now.
Yeah.
And it got us back to Melbourne because they needed somebody and they needed an organist. And so there was a job and there was an organ to play. And so that was a no-brainer to me.
There was a space for Martha.
Yeah. So in 1980, when they were interviewing, I just, you know, so I finally said, okay, Lord, I understand. I don't have peace about applying for this job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You surrender things.
Yeah.
Things, you know, it's amazing what happens. And so then I became the secretary at the station. I'd never thought about radio as anything I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends that worked in radio in college, mm-hmm. but it was not on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
As a youth, I had a song that we sang, follow what you're meant to do in answer to God's call,
mm-hmm.
and your life will soon become the greatest miracle of all. Well, you know, I feel like that he's worked in many different ways to get me in lots of different places that I never thought I would be. But so being the secretary and getting excited about what was going on radio-wise and seeing all the technology and things like that.
Things have evolved tremendously.
It's changed a great deal. We started out with reel-to-reels.
Okay.
And we had 33 and a third records that we played.
And what did your job entail originally in 1980?
Well, I did logs. We had to type logs. We didn't have some of the modern conveniences, you know.
Gotcha.
But I did learn to do production pretty quickly and recording things that people that came in and then I ended up doing announcements, church announcements, and things like that. Although I think I did community. And Dr. Hall's wife, who was the pastor that when we went on the air,
mm-hmm.
his wife did church announcements.
Okay.
And that was one of her things. And it just sort of evolved. And Martha's willing to try pretty much anything. Let me try it once or twice, you know.
Yeah.
See what's what. So it was a learning thing. And our manager then, Ken Klingler, when we went on the air, stayed a year and a half.
Okay.
And then we didn't have a manager.
Okay.
We know about those situations.
What? I don't know.
And so I became the operations administrator.
Okay. What year would that would have been? 1981.
81 and a half.
Yeah.
Towards the end of 81.
Okay.
And so, so I was pretty much in charge.
Okay.
I didn't know at the time.
So this is like a consistent thing for you. I don't think I realized that very early on, that lapse in the management
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he left. He had been a pastor and just decided this was – he'd worked in radio before and, you know, thought this was what he was going to do, but
gotcha.
Did not work out. And so he left, and we had a radio council who was the administrator, but I was the day-to-day keeping things going. We had a morning guy that came in, and then I think I worked afternoons, although at times I worked whatever. First Thanksgiving working was hard. You know, there are things in radio. Things have evolved now that you don't really have to do that. But at that point in time, we were manned, and we started out, I think we were on from 6 a.m. to maybe 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember exactly when we went, if we went from 6 to 9, and then we went to 10, or then we went to midnight.
Okay.
And then we eventually went 24 hours equipment-wise. We had reel-to-reels that were 10-inch reels.
Okay.
And we had three reels that would play music, and they'd have a tone between each song, so you could stop it between one and the other, or, you know, whatever you wanted, the rotation.
Gotcha.
We had a volunteer engineer that had come to Melbourne. God sent him our way. He had worked in Mission Radio. He had worked with lots of different places, Gates Radio, and just had lots of experience and creativity. He was an older man, but he just was really great at lots of things. So that was in 83, in the meantime, they were looking for a manager.
A manager.
It took a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Martinez came to be manager in May of 83.
Okay.
Lee and his family, mm-hmm. three girls and his wife Joanna, moved from Atlanta to Melbourne. Uh-huh. And you'd think that I would have been glad. I was glad. I was really, in my heart, I was glad, because I was glad not to have all that responsibility. And,
yeah.
And you know, to work a year and a half in radio and then a radio station.
And then to work there a year and a half, that's your experience. And now it's like, it's on to keep it going. That would be stressful, I can imagine.
Well, and turning loose of things, you may know, is hard for me.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I was glad. But I would get frustrated because he had moved my stapler. I wanted my stapler here. And it just a surrender of my will once again to the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we all do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we hold on tighter than we need to.
Mm-hmm.
But in seeing that surrender, just the greatest relationship I can have with the Lord is what we need in our life, because mm-hmm. we do need to be surrendered to His will
mm-hmm.
and leave it to Him. And so I think when that happened, it just was a great relief in my life. And Lee and I became good friends.
Good.
And worked together for 33 years.
Yeah.
So over those years, lots of different people have come and gone as announcers.
Yeah.
Our first announcer was a Brevard Sheriff's deputy also.
Okay.
He worked for us in the morning and got off at 1:30, and then he was a deputy.
That's fun.
And so we always knew we were safe.
Yeah.
And but we've had lots of different people that have worked at the station. Blind announcer.
Okay.
Don Leg was our blind announcer, and everything was brailled. We had albums, and his wife brailled every single album.
Wow.
And that he had a list of what was on the album, and he would know his brain. You know, he had a really good brain, and he'd just...
He had it all straight up there.
Yeah. So, but you had to be sure not to leave anything out of place that he could run over.
Yeah.
And we were on the second floor, so he had stairs.
Oh, yeah, because at this point, we were still downtown.
We were downtown, yeah. So... Anyway, it's been a travel, you know, through lots of different things. And so I don't know how fast, I'm fast forwarding, and I'm thinking 2017, 2016, Lee Martinez retired.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And so I became the interim manager.
Mm-hmm. a role that you were already familiar with.
Yes.
Just 34 years prior.
So, and then I became the manager for until recently. May 31st.
So what has it, as you look back, what are some, I think there's a privilege that comes along with having such a long tenure in one place of ministry. What are some of the lessons that could be learned in that?
There's always something more to learn. That's, you know, I think I learned, learning to have a boss after I had been the boss is something that took some doing. But I think the Lord taught me many things in that. And I've, as I've seen through the years, because, I worked in radio, but I was an adult department director. I've taught handbells to kids. I do handbells with adults.
Yeah.
I have other things. When I was the pastor's secretary, I worked for the Ministry of Music a lot.
Gotcha.
And, you know, because there were just two secretaries. There's a financial secretary and me. So whoever needed something doing.
Yeah. There's a lot of overlap of tasks.
Yeah. And so I think one of the things, not radio related, but just as an adult department director, our adult one department director, and Charles Scrivener was our minister of education.
Mm-hmm.
And just he was such an encourager and made an impact in my life in dealing with people. In dealing with things, you know, you have all these different teachers and how they're teaching and what they're teaching and knowing what was going on. Involved with Master Life, which was a discipleship type course that was offered. Things that I never thought would do, you know. And then in 88, our pastor was challenged to go to Brazil on a mission trip. And my husband decided he wanted to go.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I don't, I think that's great for you to go. But I think I want to go too.
Okay.
So that's when I started going on mission trips.
Okay.
Now, in college, I had been on the revival team for the Baptist Student Union.
Yeah.
And
BSU.
Yeah.
Now it's BCM.
It's BCM now. Mm-hmm. But it was an opportunity. One summer I spent traveling around the state of Florida in different churches, and we would have youth-type revivals. It would be church, but it would be sort of youth-led. And so I spent one summer doing that, met my husband.
Oh, so that's how you met your husband.
He was in one of the churches
that
we were in. And we went back to Jacksonville. It was in Jacksonville, and so we went back to Jacksonville several times.
Okay.
And he would come to wherever I was. And so,
just a coincidence.
And their church was really great. Our pastor that was on the team had an eye problem, and his eye didn't focus to the right position. And so they paid for his surgery. And so we went back to Jacksonville and spent more time at that church because they were paying for it. They were taking care of his medical needs. And so we would stay in homes. And so anyway, so as we develop through life, there's lots of things that come up. But giving God the chance to say no, you don't need to do this, or waiting for his affirmation that this is something that you might be involved in. So I've gone around and about, and missions is important to me because I started going to Brazil in 88, and we went every year till about 2003.
Okay.
And I made lots of friends, had lots of opportunities, and I still maintain some of those friendships today. When I go to Rio, there's two girls that I always see.
Because you still fairly regularly go to Brazil, right?
I have. I didn't go this past year because I had a hip replacement. And
that's unexpected.
But I had planned to go. When the years I couldn't go, about 2004 when I stopped going, God sent some Brazilians to First Baptist Church, Melbourne. And we had a Brazilian Sunday school class for a while. And that was just, I just felt like that was the Lord's blessing on giving me my Brazilian friends here as well as my Brazilian friends.
And so all of that just started with that one mission trip that your husband wanted to go on and you went to?
And Larry Baser and Greg Bruton and Charles, they're the Minister of Education and the Minister of Music. And we had a lady in the church that felt like very strongly in missions. And so she helped the pastors go on this mission trip.
Okay.
And we had it was just incredibly fulfilling.
You speak Spanish, too. Did you speak Spanish before then?
So in Brazil, they speak Portuguese.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
But I had 5 years of Spanish in high school. But we took, after the first trip, we said, okay, we need to learn this language a little bit better.
Okay.
And so we took 3 months of Portuguese with somebody that went to FIT.
Okay.
He was from Portugal, but it was still Portuguese.
Yeah.
And it's a little different. But then
it was close enough than English.
Yes. Yeah. And I studied, I worked on memorizing scripture in that language. And when I'd have kids around, and because I was a music person, I would sing in the language that, and so I learned to sing in the language, and I'd worked on scripture, and I've worked on the language, and I don't mind making a fool of myself and saying the word wrong, you know, because that's the way you're going to learn.
Yeah.
Get some correction. And so I worked hard on trying to learn the language, especially when I was there. Whoever was with me, I'd ask them to help me.
Yeah. That's cool. I don't think I realized, I knew you went to Brazil a lot. I didn't realize where all of that came from. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah. First Baptist Melbourne.
You know? Awesome. Mission trips.
Yeah. Mission trips are great. If you have an opportunity to go on a mission trip,
go.
Go. I have a passport. I'm ready to go whenever. I went to Romania 1 year with the bell choir.
I've seen pictures in the hallway of this, yes.
And so Camp Hope.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity. I'd never been to Europe, so.
Do you have any plans to go back to Brazil anytime soon?
I'm working on that. So one of the things I've done in radio is collect wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and canes for Johnny and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny and Friends is an organization that helps worldwide, international, and they collect these items, and they are repaired in a prison system, and they take them, and you make a mission trip, and you give out. You have people that will fit the wheelchairs to the kids in need.
Uh-huh.
And because I know one of our guys he hurt his knee. Finding crutches for him was really hard. So finding things for disability needs is difficult. And so seeing that as a capability, a possibility. So hopefully there is a trip next year that I'm going on with Johnny and Friends.
Okay.
That'd
be cool.
There's one to Brazil, so I'm really hoping that one's going to pan out.
Have you been on a trip with Johnny?
No,
Johnny,
I have not.
Oh, so this will be your first.
It'd be my first time to do that.
And how long have you been partnering with Johnny and Friends?
You know, I don't know. 30
a
years.
Long time.
30 years. Scott Terry was our announcer when we did our first wheelchair collection.
Oh, okay.
So it's been a few years.
Okay.
And over the years, we've had different ways that we've done it. And I just sort of, people bring stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. The minute I get things cleared out here, somebody shows up with something else, and you know, it's going to be.
Yeah. So as you look back on 40-plus years of ministry, where have you seen obvious places of God's direction in all of that?
I think the word that I would use, surrender, because when I was willing to surrender to not be the secretary,
mm-hmm.
when I was willing to surrender my will to the new manager,
mm-hmm.
as you know, those are things that I see as life points of life change and growth and seeing what he wants me to do. There's many things that you can do, and I'm pretty determined, good or bad. I think there's some good things about that, but you know, but sometimes we can be too determined in our own ways.
Sure.
And so seeking God. One of my verses that is my verse is from Lamentations. It talks about God's faithfulness. And I know that he is faithful no matter what. There have been times through my life, as life changes happen in life,
mm-hmm.
the death of a loved one, that I've seen God work through and walk with me mm-hmm. and know that he's got this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being ever seeking his will and his way and knowing that sometimes we don't always know best.
Yeah. And we don't always have all of the pieces or the information to know what would be best.
I would not have known when I came here to work that I was going to end up working in radio. You know, that was farthest from my brain.
Does it click now, or are you still kind of like, I don't know, 40 years. I gave it to him. It's great. Or is there any amount of clarity that comes from it?
There are some clarities. There are some, okay.
Yeah.
Things have changed so much in radio. Mm-hmm. And I think that I had my most fun the last several years because I got to tell dumb jokes on the air.
Even though you forgot your joke book today.
I didn't bring my joke book today. Doing history tests, talking about weather, talking to, you know, interaction with people. Mm-hmm. Because that's their friends. And mm-hmm. So that was probably, in many ways, the easiest part of some of the stuff. There's stuff with the FCC, and there's paperwork, and there's all these other things.
Yeah.
And figuring out what music you're going to play. And there's so many things in radio that can be done, as well as website and, you know, Facebook and all of those.
All the channels.
All the different channels that we reach out and connect. But connecting with people. And I guess the one thing that I would say about all these years, the thing that I see most prevalent in my life in some ways is the number of friends that I have that I would never have if it wasn't for Hope 106.3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've met so many different people through the years. And they become friends, and people, some of them just casual listeners, but people I would meet when we'd go out in the community. It says, oh, I've been listening to you for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how else but God?
Yeah.
And so those were really sweet things to see the friendships and the communications that I've had with people over the years,
mm-hmm.
People that come and volunteer. You know, we couldn't do what we do without the community.
Mm-hmm.
We say we couldn't do without you, what we do without you. And our day sponsors are people that give. It takes an army of people mm-hmm. to support a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to hope1063.org and give.
Shameless plug.
But, you know, it is. Friendships that have developed over the years
mm-hmm.
through radio. And somebody will come up and say, oh, in fact, I talked to somebody this week. She called, and she was, I've forgotten what the deal, what we were talking about. Oh, she was changing something on her credit card.
Okay.
And because credit cards have to be updated sometimes.
Yeah.
And she had a gift to the station. And so, but she just was so over the moon about the radio station and how much it had meant in her life. And and it's an encouraging thing to see how God is working and using
mm-hmm.
the station.
Mm-hmm. As you look forward, what are things that really excite you in this next season of ministry?
So I've been saying no to everything that I'm, you know, anybody asks me, don't you want to do this? I don't know what excites me most. Figuring out what the next path is. I have some things that I've talked about, you know. I've said finding myself is, you know, because I have been WCIF for so long.
Is it kind of scary facing this next step?
No.
No? That's good.
I don't know what it will be, but I don't think, I don't think it's scary. It's just
That's good.
Ferreting out what God has in store. Being able to go on a mission trip, figuring out, though, which are the ones that I need to do and which are not.
Mm-hmm.
What I need to do, what takes the things that I've learned over these 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I am older than some, but I'm not at the end of the of the ability to do things.
Correct.
I can I still have a desire to serve and to be a part. I want to keep my brain going.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've got to exercise my brain because I use it for lots of things now, and in order to do that. And mm-hmm. So I don't know what, I'm not fearful of it. I just am not sure what will be. I know that missions is something that I'm really interested in
mm-hmm.
and being involved. We've got several things. Right now I'm going to ESL, English as a Second Language,
mm-hmm.
and helping with people signing in.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not trained in ESL or anything, but I can go and help those people that are trying to fill out their paperwork that don't know what the paperwork says.
Sure.
And help them do that. So I go spend a little time, sometimes a half hour, last week it was about an hour.
Okay.
Because they had like a whole bunch of new people.
I've heard that that ministry has been growing and it's just booming at the seams.
Yes, and it's incredible. It's to see all those folks coming to our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we have a Brazilian group that meets here on Sunday nights at 6:30. Mm-hmm. And I want to spend some time working on my language by going to their services, just because that's I was listening to their podcast, the replay of their thing, and I was like, yeah, I can pretty much understand most everything that's going on.
Well, that's good.
So I need to go and refresh my brain on Portuguese, and so that's one thing I'm hoping that God's going to work into my schedule after I'm really retired. And so,
were there ever moments when you doubted your calling?
Yeah.
And how did God help with that?
I think when I was in college, I was like, because I was a music major, and that's not easy. And I was the first semester away from home. I had not been away from home. I hadn't been away from family very much, mm-hmm. and that was really hard. Do I really want to go back to college?
You know?
And so I think that was one place that, you know, it was just God helped me because I had this determination to, he's given me this determination to go on. You know, there's things I had to do in radio that I was like, this is not really in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this. But once again, my determination and not minding asking people questions, mm-hmm. saying, how do I do this? What do I do about this? You know, I'm grateful he's given me good friends. As I look at Lee Martinez was manager for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to conventions every once in a while, his wife and sometimes his daughter would go or whatever. And I met other people that were in radio. And mm-hmm. so I had friends across the country that I could call and say,
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah.
So.
Nice. What advice would you have for someone who's trying to discern what that calling is on their life?
Seek God's peace. Pursue it. And pursue your relationship with the Lord. Because that surrender is the thing that will make all the difference in your life. If you're not surrendered to his will, then your will is not going to be the happy place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeking him, seeking his guidance and seeking his word. And we had a slogan when we first started, putting Christ first in our programming, that you might learn to put him first in your life. So where Christ is first, WCIF,
mm-hmm.
Is a way putting Christ first in what you do. And then all these other things will be what you'll see is the miracle in your life.
When did God kind of start stirring in your heart that it was time to take the next step away from the radio after such a long tenure?
So in 2020, I had decided I was going to be 70.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is probably a good time. When I became the manager, I had said I would stay at least 2 years.
Okay.
And that was 2016. So
You stayed at least two years. You were faithful.
I did what I said. But in 2020, I had decided I was going to turn in my resignation and my retirement letter in 2020. But in March of 2020, things went a different way. And in my responsibility, I could not just say, okay, folks, y'all got to find somebody to do this job in 2020. And so I stayed, and then I think I turned in a letter of resignation. Am I allowed to say how many I turned in?
Sure. It's your story. You're allowed to say whatever you want.
I think I turned one in, and they said, we've got this and this going on. Can you wait till next spring?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it ended up being the next spring before it, you know. So in 2022, I turned in my final letter of resignation. And we had a party. We had a great party. I saw so many people and everything, and and then we've continued on. So, you know, so it took me a few years to really get to the point of being ready to retire, to mm-hmm. be physically having things taken care of so that I could retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, I still am concerned for WCIF, Hope 106.3. I have a heart for radio. I have a heart for the ministry and a heart for my listeners. Mm-hmm. I love my listeners. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't call them my listeners. They're God's listeners. But they're friends that I've made all these years, and I want them to feel at home with the new Hope 106.3. Mm-hmm. And I want them to feel like that's part of, that can be part of their life. Mm-hmm. So.
Nice. What excites you for the future of Hope 106.3?
You think about the goal of 100,000 people listening mm-hmm. every week. You think about the people. I think I always see faces, and I think about this person that may be homebound that's not able to get out. Mm-hmm. Think about this mom that's lonely because she's home with a baby that's crying. Mm-hmm. Or I think about the dad that's by himself and doesn't know how to lead his family. Mm-hmm. You know, I just see different people in different roles, and I see that radio can make a difference for anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way to share Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can share it with somebody that is new to the area and hasn't found it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so I just think it can be a friend when you don't have a friend. Mm-hmm. Or even if you've got lots of friends, you may need somebody to, I leave my radio on all the time at home. Uh-huh. And when I come in, so there's somebody there
waiting for me,
greeting me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I won't say I like all the music, but that's okay. There's lots of songs I do like, and God's used it to minister in my life. Mm-hmm. And Charles Stanley said, if you're not putting things of God into your heart, they're not going to be there when you need them. Mm. And so you need to be putting God's word and having that influence in your life. You know, it's a way to have, so your family and friends are there, but this is a way to set your heart mm-hmm. on God.
For sure.
And having that influence in your home or in your car or whatever.
It sets the tone and the setting mm-hmm. and the soundscape
yes,
for
whatever.
Yeah.
So it's on all the time. And partly because I was manager, I wanted it on at night so I would know that we were on the air.
Yeah, because it's still working.
And so there have been times that I was like, oh, wait, we're not on the air.
Oops.
It will call me. It would have called me, but if I hear it first, then I'm like, oh, that's the way it is.
Yeah. Okay, finally, what advice do you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
I was trying to think, can I come up with three steps? Or, you know, but I think
alliteration.
Yes, I like alliteration. But seeking God and His will, seeking and serving and surrendering. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your lot in life is, and I don't know what the thing God's calling you to do. Being willing, having a passport, can't go anywhere without a passport.
That's right.
But also, we've got people next door. English is a second language. The Seafarers Ministry. Those are two ministries that reach the world.
God is actively bringing the nations to us.
To us. FIT. We have a ministry there. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, the many students that come from abroad, mm-hmm. that this is an opportunity for them to hear about Jesus, mm-hmm. where they may not hear, they may not be able to hear in their country, mm-hmm. But they've come to us. Mm-hmm. So lots of ways that we can minister without going to Brazil or to Romania or wherever. Mm-hmm. Just being aware of what's going on in your neighborhood. I went to Sing Conference, and David Platt was talking, and he said, you know, you're on your street in your neighborhood for a reason. There may not be other Christians there, but you can be a witness where you are. And so taking where you're living, and as you're living, as we go with the Lord, whether it's on our street or if it's at the grocery store or whatever we're doing, knowing that each thing and each way that we minister can be a real ability and a real opportunity to witness for Christ. Anything it could be. Mm-hmm. It could be on your street, on the street where you live, or it could be wherever God leaves you. But mm-hmm. seeking and serving and surrendering to Him mm-hmm. is a way that to live life on mission for King Jesus.
Look at you working it all back in there. Didn't even need alliteration.
It's been a great time of serving the Lord. And I look forward to chapter whatever it is that's coming next. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be at First Baptist Melbourne. You know, we have grown so much, and I see the active working of God. It's just incredible.
It feels hard to think about the radio station without you there, because you've been such an integral role in it.
God's got this. My grandfather's favorite verse was Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and marvelous things that you don't know. And, you know, I think that's happened in my life. I had no idea.
And he's not done yet.
And I'm a recruiter of volunteers, so you never know what I may be.
Get recruited into or recruit others into.
Yes.
So when you see Martha on your caller ID, caution. Yeah. You should answer.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Martha.
Thank you for this opportunity to share Hope 106.3 and to share about all the different things. We could spend many, many hours talking about all the things that have gone on at First Baptist Church Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's long history. I came to Christ at this church. None of this stuff makes any difference without that gift of that God has given through Jesus. So knowing his grace and his mercy and the salvation that he's promised and life in heaven with him.
Yeah.
And it's only through Jesus.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Next time in Mission Control, we have Aaron Copeland joining us. Aaron is currently serving as the associate pastor at Christ Community Church, which is our first church plant in our Launch 10X initiative. I look forward to sharing that conversation with you soon. But in the meantime, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.